Welcome back to the program. Third hour of the Alex Jones Show. We're being joined by Andrew Wilson, very successful online debater, commentator, host of The Crucible. Me and Andrew had a stream about, I think it was 7 weeks into the conflict, where I believe like we disagree with each other's position on whether this is a war or not a war. So I want to define terms. I want to define what we're talking about here. I don't want to speak for you, Andrew. I want you to speak for yourself. Where do you stand now into the conflict 6 months?
I'm fine calling it a war. I don't think that's a problem. It definitely is not boding well for the Trump administration. That's for sure, going on 6 months with no real resolution in sight. So I don't think that it was a great idea for his administration to do.
Right. And this is the frustration that I had initially. Forget just being a young person, forget just being 23 for a second and thinking about the prospect of us being involved in another like ground war in the Middle East. It seemed like something that could never be extricated from. And like, I don't want to speak for you. What's your belief on the reality of this being like winnable per se?
There's no clear objective for what winning is. And so I'm not sure what we would even be winning. If you go into a country and you attack them, you need to kill everybody until you have unconditional surrender. And short of that, you probably shouldn't be fighting a war at all.
That is
in fact the case. So I never thought it was a great idea for Trump to go in. My kind of red line with him is whether or not he does a ground campaign. I think if he does that, it'll be the ultimate disaster for his administration. I still think that support for Donald Trump, as opposed to the alternative, is still a much better proposition ultimately for the nation. But I understand the anti-war sentiment.
Yeah, so I think that's kind of the key disagreement that we have there, because I think we both agree now, 6 months into the conflict, that it is a war and all that, and that it's not boding well, as you said, for the Trump administration. I agree. Here's where I stand. If we back him relentlessly into the hilt, it shows that our coalition is weak because we don't care about what we put him in power to do. What do you think about
what's the alternative?
Well, I mean, if you don't hold him to account in 2026, we're going to have a period where they're not going to be able to pack the Supreme Court. They're not going to be able to do much of anything. But if the electorate shows this is unacceptable, then in 2028, we could have a real populist platform. That's the alternative.
I actually don't understand that position. How do we get to a populist platform from us giving up power? So one rule in politics, if you have power, you don't give it up ever. And the reason you don't want to do that is because the opposition will come in, undo everything that you've done, and reverse your policies. By the time you get power back again, all you're doing is undoing. It's just like an undoing after undoing after undoing.
Do you
want to consolidate
power
to the right, for sure.
Do you think are we in power right now? Like, who is us giving up power? Because the Republicans, they don't represent what we voted for, so I don't feel very in control.
Most Republicans do represent what you voted for. There's a few defectors you probably don't like, but overarchingly, Republicans have been fairly decent when it comes to things like migration, when it comes to trans issues and social issues, domestic
policy. But we're talking about the war.
They've been fairly decent.
But the war.
Yeah, I understand, but I'm looking at the totality of why it is that you don't want to give up power over a conflict you don't support.
All right, but they didn't do what we voted for or what I voted for because they didn't pass the War Powers Resolution. So they're failing on that front. That's a big problem.
Yeah, I'm certain that there's multiple policies that you would consider to be failures from the right or Republican Party, but that really doesn't have any bearing over whether or not, if you look at the totality of how it's going to be governed between the left or the right, it's going to be far superior under the right than the left. And so what I look at politically is I'm looking at political longevity. Who's the nation going to be better in the hands of ultimately? And it's going to be the right wing and it's going to be Republicans. And there's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. I've lived under Democrat rule. It's a nightmare. It's always a nightmare. It's going to be a nightmare again. So while I agree with you in spirit that there's many things here that we have disagreements with, we need to rein our party back in and tell them no war, things like this, that has no bearing ultimately on who I want to see governing.
We will talk about that when we come back. Andrew Wilson, The Crucible, Rex Jones, Alex Jones Network. See you soon.
This shower filter slays 95% of the lead, 99% of the chlorine, and keeps that damn atrazine out of your water. Protect yourself. Don't let them turn you gay. purify it now. Mother, do you really want to shower with me? Do you want to clean everything? Oh, Mother!
I'm not gay. You are.
Real time, uncensored, unstoppable. AlexJonesLive.com. Take a stand. Share the link.
Do you want to fight? You better believe you got one!
The Patriot's choice and globalist's dread. Welcome to the Alex Jones Show.
All right, we are back with Andrew Wilson for the remainder of the third hour. Andrew, I want to talk about the original stream that we did in the initial first 7 weeks of the war. I want to read a quote from before that, actually. Let me find that really quick, from the time with Owen. And I believe that when was the debate with Owen? When did that occur in timeline with the conflict?
I don't exactly remember. It was very early on.
All right, the crew will fact check that really quick. I'm going to read this quote. And this is in response to something we'll get into later in the next segment, which relates to our Epstein disagreement, right? So I want to say this in context. I'm not saying this is exclusively an Iranian war argument, but it does reference kind of your feelings towards the Iranian people. I'm going to read this. Not only that, I'll tell you something really interesting. I do know of a satanic type religion of pedophiles, and right this second, Trump is blowing them up. Right this second, as we speak, he blew up their leadership. The Ayatollah Khamenei instituted child marriage as young as 9 years old inside of Iran, and we're killing them overwhelmingly. You want to talk about pedophiles? Let's talk about pedophiles. Where are they at? I can tell you who are blowing up right now. Who are pedophiles? That would be Trump blowing up pedophiles. That's what he's doing currently. Is that the way you feel about all the civilian deaths in this war as well? What's your
take? No, what I was doing there was testing the logical consistency of the pedophile craze for Epstein. So the idea was from Owen's position was that the most important thing was to stop the pedophiles who are in government who are eating children and all this shit, right? So I said, look, if that's the case, if it's really just about pedophiles, then we can point out that there's another nation that's completely filled to the brim with them and we're blowing them up at the moment. It's just to test the logical consistency. It's not a position that is pro-war. It's just a position
to be clear, if it's purely like to test logic, you do not support bombing pedophiles in Iran?
No. Well, I don't support it. Let's just say, like, if we put it in a vacuum, if all the pedophiles in Iran died of a heart attack, I would support that. Mm. But if it's the case that I have to send United States soldiers over to blow them up, I'm not so sure that that's a great idea. No.
Okay, so that's what you meant when you said, I'm not an anti-war guy, but I'm not a pro-Iranian war guy.
Correct. I'm not anti-war.
Okay,
it just depends on what the war or the conflict is. So I'm an America firster. It's the case that I'm anti-Iranian war, sure, but I'm an America firster. So the idea is that there could be wars that America needs to engage in for its own interest. You would agree with me on that. It's just that this probably isn't one of them.
Yeah, but your opinion has changed because initially you didn't call it a war. Now you're calling it a war. So
well, at the time, I think that it fit the criteria of a conflict more than it did a war. And it was a very short conflict that led to what looked like possibly a ceasefire, but that fell apart, and it does look like it's becoming a hot war. Yeah,
right. A regional conflict, a regional war, and like this is the reality. Like, there's no brakes on this train. This is why it grinds my gears when people still support the president over this and say there's some reason to this. There's not. This is a COVID of choice, in my view. Would you disagree with that?
Yeah. So I'm not supporting. Do you agree with me that we don't have to support every position of Donald Trump to still understand that he's the lesser of two evils here?
I think there's a hierarchy. I think when you do like the grand ultimate sin, I think it really counts against you. I think that's what he's done with the war, the peace president.
I don't think that that's the grand ultimate sin. The grand ultimate sin is yielding right wing power to progressive, insane lunatics. Okay. These people are lunatics. I've seen what they do when they're in power. Again, that I think is the ultimate sin. I think that, and by the way, I'm not even sure that having progressives in power would stop any foreign conflict. It hasn't before. Like, what foreign conflict do they ever stop? I've never seen them stop any of them. I always see them get expanded under progressives, in fact. Got expanded under Obama. Clinton bombed foreign nations. Every time a progressive is in power, I see them do this. So I don't even know that that follows, that voting in progressives is going to even stop any of the conflicts anyway. At least if we're in power and can apply some sort of pressure on Republicans and the Republican administration, I mean, that's superior to when if we had progressives in power, I think.
Is there any accountability for the Republican Party, or do they just get to avoid punishment forever for breaking their promises?
One of the problems we have in this nation, man, is that politics is a team sport, and we have universal suffrage. And so that's also a team sport. And so you want your team to win, and you have to have your team in power. You can't legislate. You can't do it. You have to have a majority in order to legislate correctly, because the other side will stop you at every turn. It's not a matter of holding them accountable. I understand that. I get it. The question is like, are we going to give up power to progressives? And the answer for me is unequivocally no. Would I love it if we were able to hold more of these people responsible? Sure. Absolutely. But do I want progressives to govern as an exchange for that? I'm not so sure about that proposition. That seems like a bad prop to me.
I just think we've lost more than we've gained. Conservatively, let's just go with the initial 39-day of the war count. It's $113 billion. Look at our bases. Look at things destroyed. Look at munitions. Let's just call it another few billion, whatever we want to say. Look at the global energy crisis ramification for people at home. People are spending more money. Ultimately, you're looking at like around a $200 billion price tag for, you know, 150 days or 6 months of war.
It's going to be more than that before it's done.
Well, absolutely.
Significantly.
Absolutely. So how on, quote unquote, our side, quote unquote, the right, how is that not the ultimate sin? I'm going to put that back to
Because domestic policy is even more important than foreign policy is, significantly more important. And the domestic policy under Democrats is going to look like this. They're going to institute corporate tax increases immediately, which Trump tried to offset with tariffs, which is going to increase the amount that you pay for your goods significantly. They tried to say that Trump was doing that when he instituted tariffs. The opposite is true. When you up corporate taxes, who ends up paying the bill? It's the consumer. Not only that, they're going to roll back Roe v. Wade and the legislation that we have fervently fought for there. They're going to pack the court. These people are lunatics. They will. And by the way, right now we have net negative migration to the United States. And I guarantee you that that's not going to stay the case under progressive rule. So look, I get it. There's a foreign policy blunder that's going on and it really sucks. And I hope we can rein it in. But I'm telling you right now that the alternative of putting progressives in power is going to destroy the nation even further than it's been destroyed, significantly more. Right now you have who on the left? You have Mamdani. You have communists coming out of the east, which is where they've traditionally come from, moving their way out westward. You want these people in power? No, you don't. You don't want them in power. Even if it was the case that they reined in some of these wars, which I doubt. I doubt, but let's just give them the benefit of the doubt. They will still destroy you domestically.
They're handed the keys to the kingdom, though, when we have coffins come home draped in American flags. And I just, the whole narrative about Mamdani, he's in the Oval Office shaking hands with Donald Trump, hanging out. So the whole narrative of, oh, the great communist enemy, the evil enemy, I just see these as different factions that want to destroy the country. Do you not see the Republicans as a different faction that wants to destroy?
No, I've never believed the ideal that this was a two-headed snake. With one single body. That's not the case. The case of the matter is that if you have universal suffrage, you're always going to be reduced to a single party. Even in places where they have rounds of voting like they do in the UK, it often comes down to just two parties, which are the two major parties. There's not much you can do because there's a couple of wedge issues that parties can build their platforms around that people will endlessly fight about. That is the truth of the world. The idea that Mamdani is going down and shaking hands with Trump means nothing. That's politics, man. That's how that works. That doesn't mean he doesn't hate him. That doesn't mean he's not smiling, waiting to put a knife in his back and in the back of the Republic, because they are. These people are psychopathic lunatics, and they're communists, and their entire ideology is the destruction of capitalist America. That's what they want more than anything.
Yeah, when America supports and props up genocides that Israel and Ukraine commit, and then people like Mamdani can run on being opposed to that, we hand them a free win.
Yeah, look, I agree with you that politically this was a bad idea for Trump, that it's going to weaken his base support and already has, that it is the case that many of the right wingers are going to be extremely upset about this. And they are. I agree with all of that. There's nothing you're saying there which is untrue.
I know, but it wasn't your initial. This wasn't your initial position.
There's nothing here that you're saying, though, that also, or that I'm saying, that's untrue either. Both things are true. It is true that his support is being eroded because of this conflict. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. But it's equally true that if we have progressives in power, or domestic policies are going to turn to absolute shinola and they are going to destroy us. Both things are true at the same time. So what's the pathway forward is what we're discussing, right?
Well, how do you hold
and the idea is like, what do
go
we
ahead.
Do?
Go, well, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. No, you go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, it's all good. Who and how and what controls the Republican Party then?
Mostly donor money, donor class, NGOs, things like this. They're also beholden to constituency. So it's a coalition. Of
yeah. Who are those? Who are those
that
people? Be? Who would the donors be? Who would the donor class be? Would that be people that support Greater Israel Project and are generating dead American bodies?
And Kufi and all sorts of different people. But
so it doesn't
also
sound like the voter, right?
Yeah. But the problem is like, that's a very one dimensional aspect to look at. It's like, yes,
you can say Jews that. Why is that true?
Well, hang on. I'm going to tell you. Jews pump a lot of money into politics. There's no doubt about it. So does Israel. But on the other hand, so do most of the Arab nations. So do most foreign nations pump money into politics.
Are we fighting
right
a war for them?
Left.
Are we fighting a war for the Arab nations right now or for Israel?
No, that's beside the point, though.
No, who controls the party, Andrew? Who controls the party?
So it's not purely Jews who control the party.
I didn't say
it's
that.
It's a collection of NGOs that control both parties. They both have vested interests. It depends on which party and which platform you're looking at. If you're looking at the Democrat and Republican, the dialectic there, they're mostly held by huge donors, by NGOs, and their constituency and what their constituency wants. One thing both constituencies agree on is they want to move away from the Iraq conflict. But NGOs and donors on both sides may not want to do that. So yes, both parties are seized by NGOs. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. And also they have some sort of beholdenness to their own constituency. So it's a coalition of factors and not a single factor.
So if it's being run by donor money and not by the will of the people, the will of the voters, then how are we bad for wanting to hold them to account by doing the only thing we can do by not voting for them?
Yeah, that's not how's that going to help, though? Like, what is that going to do for you exactly?
Can I answer?
What does that do for you? Yeah, what does
gridlock,
it do for you?
Gridlock, stagnation in Washington, D.C., perhaps a passing of the War Powers Resolution into the Iran conflict, impeachment charges for Trump for war crimes, blowing up the school.
Okay, so let's just assume that you get all of that. That's going to take a progressive majority. You agree with me there, right?
I don't think
so. There's
no
way you're going to get an impeachment.
I said gridlock.
You're not going to get an impeachment of Donald Trump without a progressive majority, dude. No way.
They can do an impeachment in the House and have it fail in the Senate. That happened before.
Well, then that's not a real impeachment, right? The question comes down to this. What do you get if progressives are in office? Tell me what I'm going to get. What do I get?
Probably not the Iran war.
What is me, the average?
Probably not the Iran war.
Okay, great. I know. I'm not asking what I don't get. I'm asking what I do get. What do I get?
Well, I told you, I consider that to be the supreme thing. You're going to make arguments. Are they going to pack the Supreme Court? No, they're not going to pack
anything.
The Supreme Court.
So okay, the conflict in Iran goes away, which it wasn't there for most of Trump's presidency, first and second
But you
term.
Can't say that. It's
so
not going to go away,
becomes,
Andrew. That's an assertion
if
of
the
yours.
If the progressives are in charge, I'm saying, in this hypothetical, the progressives are in charge. The Iran war is gone now. Okay, they stop it for whatever they do. They put an end to it. Now what?
Rex. We have a 2028 where we have a healing of the country. We have a true battle for the soul of the nation. You don't believe in that. You believe in cucking and cowing to the Republican Party.
Like,
this is all I'm hearing right now.
Rex, mm-hmm. What do I get if they're in office, dude? Answer me. What do I get if progressives are in office, bro?
Well,
what do I get?
Massa on our plantations better than Massa on theirs. That's your entire argument. With the Republicans,
you're not
get war. With the Democrats, you get potentially more immigration.
Can you answer the question that I asked you, dude?
Potentially more immigration.
I'm going to get increased taxes. I'm going to get a rollback of all of the social programs.
We're being taxed right now. The war's a tax. The war's a tax on everyone, Andrew. The war's a tax on everybody. You completely discount every factor of the war that's hurting Americans right now, and you say, but the Democrat. You say, but the Democrat.
Oh,
that's your entire argument.
You're saying the Democrats will save us, Andrew.
That's not what I said.
I
want the war
to
end. World War III is happening right now. You support World War III. You say you don't, but you make justifications for it.
I support World War III.
Yes.
You support communists getting into office to save you from the evil Republicans because you can't rein in your own party.
Andrew, what happens when World War III truly breaks out and there's a ground invasion? You were wrong 7 weeks into the war. You're wrong right now. What happens when that happens? Are you going to
eat crow? How am I wrong? What do you mean? How am I wrong? I never said there would be a ground invasion.
You said it wasn't a war, man. You said it wasn't a war.
It wasn't at the time. It was a conflict at the time.
You have it both ways. So when did it become a war? When did it become a war, Andrew?
I think that when it became a war was after the ceasefires failed. That's when I think it became a true war.
All right. So Trump disagrees with you. Trump says the four soldiers that just died didn't die in the Iran war. He says we're not at war. Do you support that position?
I disagree with Trump. Fantastic.
All right. So how do you hold him to account? If you disagree with the president, do you care? Is he your king?
So the thing that's funny is like we can go to our representatives. We can ask them to defund this. We can ask for many things from the representatives who are in control. Now that you have established what my view is, Rex, how are Democrats going to save us from anything, bro? Tell me, please.
All right.
I'm
begging
you.
Mass starvation every single day. The Strait of Hormuz and Bab el-Mandeb are shut. There's global famine, mass migration, human osmotic pressure. Michael Yon talks about it all the time. This war will generate 100 times the problems that you're kvetching about. That's
the
reality.
Well, first of all, hang on. You're still not answering what I'm asking you. How are Democrats, who you can't even guarantee
I
me
told you,
stop
I'm not
this.
Getting World War III.
You can't.
I'm not getting World War III,
Andrew.
You can't
guarantee me that they'll stop World War III, bro. So just tell me, what do I get if they're in charge of the domestic policy of the United States besides completely fucked? What do I get?
Get no war. I'm going to keep saying it. War.
Yeah, except can you promise me when Democrats are in office, I get no war?
Well, you promised me it was a 7 week conflict and not a war, and then you changed your mind.
You
get to have it both ways. You get to have your cake and eat it too, I have to respond to your hypothetical.
Whatever,
if the Democrat win, they destroy the country because you say so. I don't agree with your assertion.
Yeah, they're going to.
I don't think they're going to destroy the country.
So then why not tell people to vote for Democrats? Tell them to vote for Democrats, Rex. Do it live right now on the Alex Jones program. Say,
no, we're not going to be doing that. I'm not voting for my own destruction. Democrat, Republican, they are two wings on the same bird. You disagree with that? That is my position.
The most important thing is World War III, Rex. Tell people to vote for Democrats because they're going to save us. Do it.
Do not vote for Zionist Republicans that want to end your life and your family lineage forever by sending you off to war.
Why not tell them to vote
for Democrats? Don't put words in my mouth, Andrew. Don't put words in my mouth.
Why not? Why don't you tell them to vote for Democrats, Rex? Why not?
Because I disagree with that position.
Why not tell them?
I disagree with that position.
How do you disagree with the position? The most important thing is World War III and the Democrats are going to save us from it. Why wouldn't you vote them into office, Rex? Tell me.
I'm not showing up to the polls. I don't have to exist in your binary.
Oh, okay, right. So I guess the most important thing isn't stopping World War III then because you can't even be bothered to show up to vote.
That
great
doesn't
consistent
follow.
Position.
That
Rex.
Doesn't make
consistent
sense.
Consistent position.
Andrew, you said it wasn't a war.
Stop.
Now you say it's
we
a war. That's your consistency.
Yeah.
So
we
you
have
can
to stop
you can
World
change
War
your
III.
Position. You can have your cake and eat it too, but I can't. That's basically your entire
Rex,
take on this
no,
from day one.
Rex, this whole thing is insane. First of all, when I said that at the time, we were 6 or 7 or 8 weeks into the conflict. Okay. Yes, of course, when the situation changes, my opinion
your
about
support
the situation
generated
is change
the
with
war.
It.
People like you
How?
That backed the Republicans.
How?
When Trump said 99% of Republicans supported the war, you're a part of that number. You emboldened his military action.
Did you vote for Trump? Did
yes,
you vote
twice.
For Trump?
Twice.
Then you supported the war. How
yes,
did you support
I
the
was
war?
Wrong to believe
you
in the lies of Donald
psychopath?
Trump. Donald Trump lied to me. Hold on, Andrew. Donald Trump said no more neocon wars in the Middle East. Is this a neocon war in the Middle East?
That's the same thing he said to me. I voted for him, too.
And you're still
it's
a cuck.
Like, what do you want me to do?
You're still cucking for him. That's what
you're
this is.
You're cucking for Democrats, bro.
You're making excuses for the dear leader.
Me.
If you can't criticize your own side, it shows your coalition is weak. You have no coalition. You have no platform.
Criticize my
you
own
admit
size.
The
what
Republican
mean?
Party is controlled by the donor class, but then you say to go vote
so
for
So are Democrats. So are Democrats.
I'm
so
proposing
becomes,
we break. I'm post-duopoly.
Oh, okay, great. What are you're going to break in what? You're going to form a party in 2 years?
I'm
That's
23.
Insane,
you're in your 50s or something. You'll be dead in like 30 years. I'll be here. I care about the nation, the future of this country in
well,
a way that you
not
do
gonna
not.
Save, that's not going to save us from World War III that you have a party in 20 years, Rex.
No, we
what
do
are
it
you
now.
Talking about,
we do it
bro.
Now. 2028.
You're like, this is
you are
you
holding.
Party,
no, hold on.
Rex.
You are
no
holding to. You are holding to 2026. I'm holding to 2028. That is my entire position.
Bro,
we have somebody
you're not
run.
Have a party you're not going to have party by 2028. That's insane.
What was the Republican Party?
That's crazy.
In 2014, was the Republican Party the party of Trump or the party of Jeb Bush and Paul Ryan? What happened there?
It wasn't the party of Trump. Trump wasn't around. What are you talking about?
What happened there? So there's a complete change from, of course, Jeb Bush to Donald Trump, a complete change from pro to anti-war foreign policy because Donald Trump had a populist takeover of the Republican Party. How could we not have that again? You deny that. You say it's impossible.
Yeah. No. What I'm telling you is that you can't have a third party that's viable by 2028.
I didn't say
that's
third party. I said having a person run inside the Republican Party.
So then you want us to vote for Democrats now and then in 2028 vote for whoever the Republican nominee is?
Why not?
Because Rex,
because the Democrat going to censor me,
Rex,
and throw me in jail. That doesn't follow.
You're giving up power. Oh, the Democrats are going to save us from World War III.
Yes.
That doesn't follow.
We need accountability,
Andrew.
Then tell people
right now if they're going to say
how many pumps? How many dead soldiers? How many? Uncle Sam's railing you right now. Is it going to be 19, 20, 21 pumps, 22? How many more deaths, Andrew, will you justify?
How many times do I have to say I don't support the war?
But you support Donald Trump, who's doing the war. That's the whole point of the argument.
I don't support Donald Trump.
Yes, you do. You support Donald Trump. You're telling people
to
vote for his
party. Rex, you can't cut me off in the middle of the sentence.
You've been cutting me off.
Get funny here, man. It's like, I don't support Donald Trump's war in Iran. I do support him on domestic policy and the things that he's gotten done.
It's not a deal breaker for you.
Think for a second, not yet, unless there's a ground invasion. And I got to tell you, man, you're saying that there's going to be World War III and Democrats are going to save us. That's nuts. They're not going to save us from anything. And if you really believe that they were, why wouldn't you tell people to go vote for them then? Why?
2026, we're not voting. 2028, we're voting for somebody to take over the party just like Trump did. That's respond to my position. That's my position.
I'm trying.
2026.
That's a stupid position.
Respond to it. Don't just say it's stupid. What happens? 2028, we take over the party.
Here, I'll help you out here. Okay, so here's what happens in 2026. You get obfuscation. If you get Democrats in, you get a lame duck. You're right that you got gridlock, but what Democrats will come out and say is they'll be like, look, the Republicans have completely failed you while they obstructed every bit of their agenda. That's what they'll run on. They'll put a communist in the White House like they've done before. They will completely and totally take over the electorate, and then we're really screwed, bro. And what's really funny about this is, again, now that I've responded to you, can you please respond to me? Why won't you tell people if you really believe that Democrats are going to save us from World War III, and that's the wedge issue, not to vote for them in 2026? That's an insane contradiction.
I don't agree,
Rex,
with that. I agree with holding the Republican Party accountable by not emboldening and enabling them in 2026.
You said that they were going to save us from World War III. Now they're not, huh?
What are we supposed to do, Andrew? Are we supposed to keep voting Republican as they send our sons and daughters off to die?
We already did what we could do. We tried to primary out the ones that we didn't like, and it was Trump's nominees who got in there. That's what actually happened when it was left up to the electorate. The problem that you have, man, is that you're going to yield a ton of power,
You've already
to the biggest
yielded
lunatics
it.
Who have ever existed.
You gave
on
it away to
Earth.
The Likud party. You gave it to Netanyahu with your support.
Oh, yeah, I gave it away because I voted for the same guy.
It's
you
two
voted
devils,
for.
Man. It's two demons.
Yeah. So I guess you and I are both in the Israeli shills then because we both voted for Trump, huh?
Better get that 7,000. We'll see you after this break.
Yeah, you better get your 8.
My fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts, go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. It's globalist siege. It's globalist economic warfare. It's a globalist blockade, an embargo, sanctions against American populist patriots. For everyone that's been watching and listening to me for years, you've seen the attacks, you've seen the deplatforming, you've seen the court battles, the news articles, the demonization, the bogus default judgments. We even have FBI and CIA operatives on hidden camera talking about how their entire goal was to take me out at the knees by knocking out my ability to accept payments. And that model they used on me, they admit, is for all of you.
Alex Jones.
Yeah, so we were after him.
So with Alex Jones, and the goal with him was what, just to bankrupt him?
Pretty much.
Well, because of First United Payments and your support, they failed. And they failed because I had a processor with a backbone who loves America and believes in the free market. One who stands up for American justice and who didn't back down when they received threatening messages and pressure from other major institutions. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Consolidation, vertical integration, that is the goal of the BlackRock globalist system. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. This is the key to their entire panopticonic takeover plan in their own words. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, was very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system, even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. Visit First United Payments now at FirstUnitedPayments.com. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. That's 877-899-1313. The tyrants are counting on us not to innovate. They're counting on us not to migrate to institutions and organizations that are pro-human just like us. This isn't some new company. I've been using them for almost a decade. They're already taking care of most of the patriots. Whether you're a florist, have a gas station, or you're a farmer, or you've got a little five and dime shop or a factory, whatever it is, online merchants, this is the place for you. These guys are patriots and they're in our corner. They're Americans just like us and they hate the New World Order with a passion. They believe in the free market and they understand this is 1776 2.0. 90% of it is information warfare and financial. And this is just as important as the right to self-defense and guns. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Thank you so much. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
What's that last segment? We're talking about things, having some fun, debating our positions. Andrew Wilson is the host of The Crucible. We're talking about Iran war, and I think we're going to get into Epstein this segment. I want to talk to you about the Epstein apologetics, but I don't want to leave it hanging there, reviewing what we just said. I'll give you the floor.
Well, I mean, it's fine for us to get into a different topic. I understand the debates get heated. I never take it personally. I never have. We have different positions and we have different ideologies, but I'll just leave it at no, I've never been an Iran war supporter. I do think that the right wing are the by far better governing candidates and better governing force than Democrats. I don't think Democrats are going to save us, nor do I even think that they would stop any wars that were going on. I don't believe it for a second.
All right. I just don't believe the right wing is in charge. Like you say, this is the issue that I have. We can point to the Democrats. You can point at the radical Marxist, socialist, communist agenda. You can say that is actually in charge. My issue is the Democrats think that they're right. The Republicans know that they're wrong and they lie to their electorate. How do we hold them accountable?
Well, both parties ultimately lie often to their electorate. The thing is that what the one thing you can't get around is that politics is a team sport. In order to legislate, you have to have X amount of votes. And that's not just to get into office. That's for when you are in office. Democrats understand and know this. They will vote along party lines without defectors. Even the communists will get together with the progressives in order to do this because they understand maintaining power is central, right? You have what is called suicidal principles. It's like, look, you can if you want to. If you want to say, look, I'm so principled that I just refuse to even go and vote at all. That's great. But I don't know what the hell that does for anybody. And I don't know what putting Democrats in office, if you really thought that that was going to void World War III, why you wouldn't tell people to go vote for them en masse. Like, why wouldn't you do that?
Because you propose it as an absolute, and I'm not proposing it as that. I'm saying 2026 specifically, I'm not showing up to the polls because the peace president lied and took me to war. 2028, I plan to be very involved.
But you're just punishing yourself. You're setting your feet on fire to warm up your hands. You're like, look, getting, because what you do is you get rid of your legislative authority and you give it to progressive lunatics, and they will obstruct all legislation that you do want. That's all that they will do for two straight years. Blame that on Republicans to usher in their candidates, and they will get them in. They will be in charge, and we are going to be in a world of hurt. That is how this works politically. Why do you think they're beating this as a wedge issue so hard? They love it. It's their favorite thing on planet Earth.
Well, they were given it.
They beat it to death.
They were given it.
I agree that this was a Trump blunder. I get it. And I understand that that's now a talking point which can be used by Democrats and progressives.
Blunder implies accident. This was very deliberate. Another nation took us to war, Andrew.
Well, no, blunder doesn't imply accident. It implies that you did something that you weren't supposed to. It was stupid what he did. Yes, I agree. It was on purpose. I agree that he worked in tandem with Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, in order to do this. The only defense that I'll even give to Trump is that I do believe that he thought that this would be over very quickly because the other conflicts that he had been involved with were, like Venezuela, for instance. He had no reason to think that it would become this expanded conflict. But that's the only defense that I'll give to the guy, because many people in his administration told him that this was a bad idea.
Right. So you've changed your mind, and now you call it a war.
Can you tell me what I changed my mind on?
7 week conflict. That's what you said.
And how long had the conflict been going on at that time? For 7 weeks.
So when you kill the Pope, it's not a war. When you kill the Ayatollah, it's not a war. That's not an act of war to you.
No, it's not always if you kill a foreign leader, an act of war. No.
Wow.
It's not.
You know, it's
not always.
Weak.
I don't know what to tell you. That is, in fact, the case. But
that's
this
not
has
real
graduated.
World, any other
this
nation, they kill a leader, they're at war.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it different for us?
That's not true. That's not true. Many nations have had leaders which have been assassinated, and that's been linked to other nations, and they didn't go to war.
But it's not an assassination linked to another nation. It's a military strike. It's a bombing.
Yes, but that's not what's in dispute. What's in dispute here is whether or not at the time it appeared to be more of a conflict than it did a war.
But you don't think it's an act of war to kill the Ayatollah.
I think that you're splitting hairs.
How?
It's like, even if I was wrong, let's just say I was incorrect about it being a conflict. Let's just grant it. So what? We both agree it's a war. Both of us. So if that's the case,
you don't agree that killing the Ayatollah is an act of war, which makes it look like, well, why are the Iranians fighting us? They seem to think that they're at war with us.
Bro, what part of we both agree it's a war are we not? What are you not getting here?
No, because you denied.
We don't both agree on that?
Your position at the beginning was wrong, and you knew better. Mm-hmm. You knew it was a war, and you said it wasn't one because you thought it could end quickly.
Okay, you know what? Just for the sake of getting the conversation forward, Rex, I was wrong. It wasn't a conflict. It was actually war. What have we established? Anything?
Well, I mean, you're willing to write anything and everything off that Trump does, even if he takes us to war, because the Republican Party will save us.
I mean, you're just making stuff up. Except
then, how
I'm
do
not,
we hold them accountable?
I've been very adamant.
How do you hold them accountable for breaking with their promises?
Yeah, so you can do political punishment, especially through acts of Congress. That's the best way to do it. Get them to defund things. They can pass legislation. They can restrain him. You can go to courts. There's a million different ways to restrain the president.
Well, you're against
There's a million
the
different ways to restrain. Your parties in Congress, including lobbying your own NGOs, including lobbying your own lobbyists. There's a million different ways to restrain them. Your way to restrain them is, let's vote in progressive lunatics who are going to destroy the nation. That's not how you do this, bro. That's the opposite of how you want to do this.
All right. So you've got another position, which is pretty interesting, which is the Epstein position. And there's you, okay. There's Michael Tracy, Gavin McGinnis, who I had on yesterday, also kind of holds to this. I don't know if you'd put it this way. This is what Gavin said, that Epstein's just a pervert. I want to get into this with you. I want to define what your position is on Epstein. Again, not trying to put words in your mouth. I want to hear what you have to say.
Yeah. So I think, I think Tracy has most of this right, that you have to separate mythology from fact. So Epstein was a hyper predator in Florida who was preying on essentially high school girls or younger, pedophilia, most likely. Right. So, yeah, he was up to all sorts of like horrific things. There's no ifs, ands or buts about that. And Ghislaine Maxwell also was. But the mythology aspect is the Zorro Ranch. They were eating kids. They had like child bakeries there. The mythology is the Lolita Express, that there was blackmail operations which were going on. And those blackmail operations were utilizing video in order to make sure that various political figures and things like this could be blackmailed, essentially. So that's where the mythology aspect of it comes in. So as long as people separate mythos from what we know as fact, I don't really have a problem with it. I don't even have a problem with the idea of the mythology if it's the case that people have good evidence for why it is that they believe some of the things inside of the mythology.
Okay. Okay, so I just want to ask you right off the rip, is Epstein a pedophile and was he involved in child trafficking?
Well, undoubtedly he was. Okay. He was involved in child trafficking. The question is, was he involved in child trafficking to himself or was he involved in child trafficking to other people? That's where the question comes in.
Crew, can we get get the DOJ charges for Southern District in New York, Ghislaine Maxwell, punched up on the screen really quick? Andrew, continue. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then the other thing on the question of pedophilia. Most likely. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me a bit if he the way that I understand it, it's a mix between you have pedophilia and then hebephilia. And then, you know, everything after that, pedophilia is classified as prepubescent children. And then hebephilia is classified as they're like possibly postpubescent, but they're still underage. So I think that he falls in the hebephilia category, but it wouldn't surprise me if he fell in the pedophile category as well.
All right. So there's underage hijinks going around. We can kind of just leave it at that. So he's
1,000%.
Yeah. So he's on record, or just lands on record, because she's spending 20 years in jail for conspiring to and committing child trafficking with and for Jeffrey Epstein. Like, those are the charges. So for me.
Yeah. To Jeffrey Epstein.
When I hear that somebody like Michael Tracy come out there and say, oh, well, there's no evidence of this. This is a satanic panic, basically. I look at the redactions and I say, well, if there are all these redactions for all these quote unquote victims, who is being protected and what's being hidden in your view?
Well, a lot of the redactions are coming out of victim advocacy groups, various lawsuits that are happening, and those are done through the court, which is separate actually from what Trump's powers are for redactions and even congressional power. A lot of that comes out of the courts. Tracy has some pretty good segments on this, on how the victims advocacy groups push for these redactions through courtrooms. And that, I kind of understand why, because if you take what happened, for instance, with Ro Khanna, when Ro Khanna doxed those various people who were on the list, and then it turns out that they weren't even involved in any pedophilia at all. It's like there's a reason why there's a lot of those redactions which are there. We have the Epstein Transparency Act, and they've been going back and forth on this based around the idea of the video and the redactions. So I would love to see it all. And this is Tracy's position, too, which is interesting. He would prefer to see it all redacted and released. And so would I. I just understand why it isn't.
And that's because the courts did it, in your view?
Most of it, yes.
Most of
the redactions come from courts, from victim advocacy groups, and from various lawsuits, and from people who want to protect their identity who might be named in the Epstein files, but they themselves did nothing wrong.
Okay, so we kind of made, or you made, the pedophilia, I believe hebephilia, or whatever it's called, distinction earlier before. Pam Bondi
is prepubescent, yeah. One's postpubescent.
So I think to most people that really doesn't matter. Like, if it's under 18, it's a crime, and then someone that's that old shouldn't.
I agree,
be
it's a crime.
It. Yeah,
I agree.
So
with that.
When you look at Epstein and you look at the redactions, it's not just the redactions; it's the 3 million unreleased files. What do you say about that?
Yeah. So most of that, as this, again, this is the research that I've read, and I've looked at both ends of it. So Pam Bondi said that most of the redactions on video, for instance, came from the fact that this was mostly Epstein's porn and that had been investigated. And it's true that they did age play pornography, but even a lot of the pictures which were leaked out where it appeared like it was a young girl, you know, like perverts on the internet were like, no, I saw that porn. It's this one. And you'll see that on X. They're like, nope, that's actually just age play pornography, this type of thing. So he had a pretty staunch porn file. And then as far as the other files that haven't come out, my understanding is that those fall under the same category. They're like unnecessary files to send out, or they're protected by victim advocacy groups, this kind of thing.
Do you believe
this is my understanding of it?
No, I get it. Do you believe he was an international sex trafficker?
I don't think that there's evidence to support that Epstein was involved in international sex blackmail operations. There seems to be a lot of evidence that he was at least tied to intelligence agencies, which doesn't surprise me because he was a banker for Rothschild and he was an investment banker for other large banking operations. So that wouldn't surprise me at all if he had intelligence links. Most of these guys seem to. But I haven't seen any good compelling evidence that this guy was flying children around the world for other people to have sex with and then blackmail them. And that's where the mythology part comes in.
So you completely disregard all uses of coded language?
No.
No? You don't? Well, pizza, mm-hmm. cheese holders, grape soda, hot dogs, things like this. I eat the beef jerky or else the demons come for me. The shadows come around
just,
me. What
it,
stuff
the problem
like that?
Is like, it just doesn't demonstrate what it is you're trying to demonstrate. It is in fact, the case. It's awful suspicious. I agree with you. The idea of coded language always is. But do you remember the Pizzagate and the stuff that happened around that? That was all based around coded language, and it was all nonsense. There was no
I don't
actual
know that, I don't
child
know that
trafficking
was all nonsense.
Going on.
I don't know that was all
it was
nonsense.
All,
the Podesta
it was
emails...
All,
the Podesta emails are not a part of Comet Pizza, and that was also a part of Pizzagate. So you're going to conflate two things here.
Well, no, I'm not. The Podesta emails and spirit cooking had to do with some lunatic's art project, and that was conflated and tied in to the fact that Podesta was diddling kids, and then that was tied into Pizzagate. It's like,
but if it's
most
just
of that wasn't true.
If it's just a lunatic's art project, then why are all the most powerful people involved in it? And why are they involved with pedophiles? Like Jeffrey
Epstein,
like Podesta.
For the same reason most elites get involved in art, because it's a massive racket worth billions of dollars and they hide their money through it. So billionaires have been doing that for years and years and years. Do you really think that they're buying
Hold
a
on.
Painting
we got
that,
that
was
on the
made
screen?
From somebody
you,
for $50 million?
Go back to that in the slideshow. Do you think this is a part of an art scam? Where they got, you know, the fat guy like raping the silhouette of the little kid on the bed. Is that a part of art?
Yeah, that's out of my language. It wouldn't surprise me if Podesta was a total absolute scumbag of the tallest order. The problem that you have is like you have to separate mythology and weirdness and grossness and sickness from reality. The reality is there was never, ever at Rocket Pizza, a basement where kids were getting tortured and they were being essayed. That's just not true. Factually, it's not true. And you can be upset about it all you want, but that is in fact the case. Right now, factually, you don't have evidence that Epstein was flying children around the world as part of blackmail operations. You don't have the evidence for it.
We have evidence.
You can have great suspicions.
Mm-hmm. We have evidence
have
that he trafficked
suspicions.
Children. We have evidence that he did it with Ghislaine Maxwell.
To
She's
who,
in jail
though?
For 20 years. To
himself
with Ghislaine.
To himself, right. Exactly.
All right, so if he trafficked children to himself and he's this billionaire with all these insane connections, wouldn't it not be a crazy leap of logic to assume he's doing this with other people if him and Ghislaine
are wouldn't
doing
be,
it?
No, of course not. It wouldn't be a great leap of logic, but there's just not any good evidence there to support it. That's the problem that you have. That's why you have to be very cautious, because you can build up huge mythologies around what is called, you know, logic gaps or evidence of the gaps, meaning, look, I don't actually know, but my speculation becomes the logic. And then I can make these logical leaps based on my speculation. Now we get into these are truth claims. And it's like, you can't make those truth claims because they're not true. You have to at least have the evidence to back up the truth claim, or you can't really make the claim, right? You can just say, I have suspicions of, if that was it, if people are like, look, I have suspicions of this. This is really weird. This needs to be followed up on. We want more answers to this. I think that that would be fine. But this has transcended that. And it is, in fact, the case that there is a psychosis, which is happening in the United States around this, where people now believe that at the top levels of government,
We have people who are eating children, that they're eating their pineal glands, that they're eating their sexual organs, that they're killing them and murdering them, and they're essaying them. And it's like, that's a hell of a thing to say without good, compelling proof, man.
I take that point. I can take that point. I can understand it. The problem is, though, he's on record as a child trafficker. He's a billionaire. He has these connections. Absence of evidence is not evidence of absence. I don't believe that.
But that works against you, too. That's the same argument I can make back. It's like, yeah, you're right. Absence of evidence is not evidence of absence. But the problem is that you making the affirmative claim, there's an absence of evidence, and therefore that's the evidence, is the same argument. That's not evidence.
It is a bit odd that the people that promised to expose everything and end the wars started the wars and exposed nothing. And they say, well, we had to do the war and then we had nothing to expose because it's all fake. I guess we're supposed to just trust them.
Well, no, nobody's asking you to trust them. I think, again, just like Tracy's position, I would love to see all of these files unredacted and released. But you have victims who don't want that to happen. They don't want it to happen. And take, for instance, a lot of these victims don't have very much credibility to begin with. And they're not, a lot of it has to do with money, has to do with various victim funds that they had access to. It became a multi-million dollar industry to be an Epstein victim. So it's like, look, you have also evidence to question that narrative. And it's like, look, I love skeptics. I just used to love them a lot more when they were skeptical of their own claims too, their own side's claims. Like, be skeptical of both. It's fine to be like, look, I want the government to be more transparent. I want them to release all the unredacted files. I want to know what happened. But you also need to be skeptical of your own claims and be like, I actually don't know. And you shouldn't make bold claims that at the highest level of government, children are getting eaten and molested and raped by high-level government officials, and it's being covered up. We don't have evidence for that, man. Now, if you want to say Epstein trafficked kids to himself, I agree, 100% that happened. But you lack the evidence to show that he was trafficking children to other people as part of massive intelligence blackmail operations. I myself believe that narrative. I believed it myself until I went and looked into it and read a lot of Tracy's research, and his research is quite good.
All right. Well, Andrew, we disagree on this. I think we'll probably do another stream in the future as facts coincide. Thank you for your time. The Crucible, where do they find you?
Yeah, you can find me on YouTube at The Crucible. You can find me on Rumble. I do the Extravaganza Daily. You can also find me on X at Paleo Christ Con. And Rex, I know that we disagree fervently about many things, but I still like you, man. And I appreciate being on your show.
All right. Yeah. Take it easy, Andrew. Appreciate your time. Have a good evening.
You too. Take care.
All right. We will see you guys tomorrow as well. I'll also be in the chair. I think my dad will be here for the first hour. I do want to tell you guys, if you want to support debates, discussions, streams like these, the main thing to do besides even supporting the store is sharing the live link, sharing the feed, sharing the clips. Like my dad said at the beginning of the show, we make it very easy to do that. We have a whole team of dedicated clippers in there, the crew, the engineers that are constantly working. And if you see a segment you like, if you think there was a good point made, super easy to send that to a friend, a family member, a loved one, a coworker, you name it. More people need to know the information that you know. And here's the thing. I disagree with him vehemently on his positions. I should know mine better and learn mine better. So we're going to work on doing all of that and more in the future. That's what we do at the Alex Jones Network. And we want you to go to the Alex Jones store if you want to continue to support that work. We have the finest products available. I do want to tell you, if you're already taking Methylene Blue, I invented two products that work in a tangent with that to really enhance, upgrade that. Not just that, just really for mitochondrial health, biogenesis, exercise support, you name it. Of course, I'm talking about the Power Drive Bundle from thealexjonesstore.com. You can go to thealexjonesstore.com and you can get the Power Drive Bundle. What does that contain? Methyl Drive, Power Plant, and Methylene Blue. Methyl Drive has the CoQ10, the PQQ to enhance mitochondrial biogenesis, aid the electron transport chain, and do all things to help you increase your ATP and increase your mitochondrial resilience. It's also got the magnesium in there, and it's got the methylated, the activated, the proper form of vitamin B12 that you want. That's ultimate methyl drive. Combine it with Power Plant, with the Rhodiola rosea, that's golden root, the Vikings chewed on that, boost dopamine, boost norepinephrine, boost exercise tolerance, support that, attenuate that. Take cordyceps mushroom as well, really boosts ATP, great for your mitochondria, great nootropic as well. Really, really, really will aid you in that cardio. And that's all in Power Plant, along with the boron, the selenium, and the zinc. If you're deficient, that's going to massively raise your testosterone. People have been asking for a long time, Rex, where is the super male vitality? Where is it? Is it around? Does it exist? And I have to say, not right now, but we got something even better. It's called Power Plant, and it's included in that bundle. That's the Power Drive bundle. Power Drive bundle is that dual formula performance stack that helps support energy production, mental clarity, and stress resilience. Each daily stack delivers advanced adaptogens, mitochondrial nutrients, and powerful minerals, and your purchase directly keeps Alex Jones on the air. That is 110% correct. If you want this network to flourish in the future, we want to have you make that decision to go to the store and support us by getting any one of these phenomenal products. I have literally been doing this since I was like 8 years old. First time I wrote an ad, I think I was like 13 or 14 selling Block It Pockets, but I've sold Knockout. I've sold Brain Force over the years. And now at thealexjonesstore.com, we have that ultimate power. And we got deals on all the formulas, all the flavors on that ultimate power. You want the nootropic better than Turbo Force? We have it. We have that shower head with that happy frog friend on it. Every time you see the frog friend, you're reminded that you made the right decision to give your family clean water, clean air, and to support the fight. TheAlexJonesStore.com. We got that ultra methylene red, cognitive power, cellular fuel, lasting energy. On a budget, this is one of the best mitochondrial health blends that you're going to find available. We have it right now at discount, Ultra Methylene Red Shilajit Tincture. You really got to get this. If you've been liking the pills, you've been liking the gummies, go straight to the source, get even more concentrated, even more pure Shilajit Tincture. And we also have the turmeric as well. We make it so easy to support us. And in reality, if you just go to the grocery store and you see the items in the supplement aisle at the grocery that are picked in, that are off the shelves, it's what we sell because it's the most popular stuff. What does all this stuff do? It aids in your mitochondrial health, aids in your cellular resilience. As you get older, more and more your cells become senescent. What that means is they're not efficient. They create a lot of waste products, cytokine storms, oxidative stress, you name it. What does that result in? It results in you getting older, weaker, feeling more tired, having more aches and pains. Look into the science of everything I'm saying to you right now. The future of health is mitochondrial biogenesis, mitochondrial health, and making sure you're dealing with oxidative stress by using super powerful antioxidants. Of course, talk to your doctor about any supplement advice I give you, but do your own research, free yourself, break your chains. Go to thealexjonesstore.com, get yourself that Power Drive bundle. Go do it right now.
There's a massive sale going on right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Huge. Ultimate summer sale. 50% off. Ultimate Power, Freedom, Mango, and Patriot Punch. Methylene Red Capsules. This is a proprietary product. It would take an hour to get into Ultra Methylene Red. The capsules are now in. Mind-fueled nootropic energy shots. All 50% off. 40% off zeolite tincture. Detoxifying, go up for spike protein, and it's good for your whole body getting heavy metals out. Methylene Blue Tincture, 40% off. CMOS Gummies, 40% off. Shilajit Gummies, 40% off. Methylene Blue Gummies, 40% off. Ultimate Chill, and a whole bunch of other big discounts as well. 30% off all apparel. The widest selection of Patriot shirts of every different design, configuration. It is the widest selection. It's over 800 different shirts. It's ridiculous. The new line that I designed is, I think, pretty good. Rebel Scum since 1776. The Betsy Ross flag, less 1984, more 1776 in muscle shirts. A whole bunch of other really cool stuff now at thealexjonesstore.com. I love this lightweight so-called dress shirt, but it's a very special type of shirt from a great manufacturer. We now have the boxer shorts, and they're not boxer like underwear. You know, the classic boxer shorts that aren't long and aren't short. They're just kind of medium. They're my favorite type. I picked these out. I picked the brand. I said, this is the type of short I like. We're adding a lot of new apparel at thealexjonesstore.com. And every order right now, and it's about to end in the next few days, gets a free mystery T-shirt. You just put your size in, you get a free mystery T-shirt with every order that's $29 or more at thealexjonesstore.com. That is a hell of a deal. right now. We've got the silver collectible 250-year anniversary with the amazing Jerusalem cross. Those are going to be gone soon. TheAlexJonesStore.com. And you stand with us, and you know that all the great work we're doing is because of you. You are the reason we're here. You are the InfoWar. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.